long-distance telephone calls, and library books. There's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 23rd of December, 2021. My name is Arthur. This morning, I'm going to go for 2 hours. The first half of the show is going to be split between a, like how I like to do it here, with a little crime, and then a western, and then the second hour, from 6 to 7, I'm going to go with a full-length one-hour show by the Lux Radio Theater. I played before several years ago, but it's a Christmas classic. So first of all, this is The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. It doesn't have Basil Rathbone and Nigel, whatever his name is, the originals. It's a little bit later. It was written by Edith Meiser. She pretty much adapted Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's actual adventures and then made up her own. I believe this is one of hers, The Adventure of the Christmas Bride. This had an original air date, the 21st of December, 1947.
Clothes for men, and 924 leading retail stores from coast to coast present the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes. Our stories are based upon the character of Sherlock Holmes created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Sherlock Holmes is portrayed by John Stanley, Dr. Watson by Alfred Shirley, and the dramatizations are by Edith Meiser. Well, here we are about to enter Dr. Watson's familiar study. Hello, what's this? We find the good doctor hanging up his Christmas holly.
Not forgetting a sprig of mistletoe, Mr. Harris. Hope springs eternal, as they say. But here, help me down from this chair. My old legs aren't as agile as they were in the days when I followed Holmes through the dungeons and up the tower stairs of old Pendragon Castle.
Here we are.
Oh, thanks.
That sounds suspiciously like the beginning of a Sherlock Holmes yarn, Dr. Watson.
It is, Mr. Harris, it is. Holmes always called it The Adventure of the Christmas Bride. It concerns a ghostly lady in white who was supposed to have disappeared centuries ago. The honor of a noble family and a certain Father Christmas who suddenly sang bass. And now, while I fix us both a Yuletide tolly, suppose you'll tell our friends and listeners about a gift every man in our audience would welcome from Father Christmas, or as you Americans call him, Santa Claus.
With pleasure, Dr. Watson. And not only from Santa Claus. A thrifty man can give himself a worthwhile gift any time if he insists on Clippercraft. For Clippercraft clothes keep on giving for a long, long time. First of all, you've never seen such truly fine clothes at such really low prices. That means you pocket the savings. That's the first gift to yourself. And they also give you superb styling, perfect fit, and long wear. Clippercraft clothes give you so very much because of the unique Clippercraft plan, concentrating the buying power of 924 of the nation's leading stores from coast to coast. That means tremendous savings in manufacturing and distribution costs. And yours are the savings this brilliant plan makes possible. Clippercraft suits are only $40 and $45. Clippercraft topcoats and overcoats only $40. And sport jackets only $26.50. Clippercraft values are so amazing, we urge you to compare them with clothes selling for many dollars more. And now, how about that Christmas bride, Dr. Watson?
Her name was Ginevra. And she was the heir and only child of Lord Robert Neville, 10th Earl and 54th Baron Pendragon of Pendragon Castle. Yes, I shall never forget my first glimpse of that ancient and somewhat forbidding edifice. The walls gray and bleak, without their summer covering of ivy. The tower square and defiant with the red or rouge dragon pennant, angrily defying the winter gales. Well, as I was saying, a rather urgent message from Lord Neville on elegant embossed stationery had arrived at 221B Baker Street. Would Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson do him the honor of a visit to Pendragon over the Christmas holidays? The visit to include the wedding of his daughter, Lady Ginevra, to the immensely wealthy but slightly middle-aged Wentworth Trimmingham, which was due to occur on the second day of the new year.
Now, don't tell me the eminent Mr. Sherlock Holmes was called in to guard the wedding presents, Dr. Watson.
Hardly, Mr. Harris. At any rate, the day before Christmas found us alighting from our train at a small station in the Cumberland Hills, which, as you know, are situated in the north of England. There had been a slight fall of snow. An ancient carriage with red wheels and the Neville Arms on the door was drawn up to the station platform, while the anxious face of the Lord of the Manor himself, in top hat and earmuffs, peered through one of the steamy windows.
Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson.
That's right.
This way, gentlemen. His lordship's expecting you in carriage.
Quite a fall of snow you've had here.
Aye, sir. More are coming. By rights, we should have brought the sleigh. Only his lordship loaned it to the vicar for tomorrow night. Vicar always plays by the Christmas at the Hall on Christmas Eve, nanos. Mr. Holmes and Dr. Watson, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. I'll hop in before you freeze to death.
Thank you.
Are you here, Mr. Holmes? Here, your friend opposite. Ah. And now then, Dennis, back to Pendragon as fast as you can.
Aye, my lord.
Mr. Holmes, you are doubtless curious as to why I've invited you and Dr. Watson to share our Yuletide celebrations at Pendragon.
To be quite honest, Lord Neville, I didn't think it was entirely for the pleasure of our society, although Watson is quite an asset when it comes to carol singing.
Oh? Tenor?
No, certainly not. Baritone.
Oh, that's good. The vicar who leads the Christmas singing is rather proud of his tenor voice, and I may say he's not too fond of competition.
No?
Mr. Holmes, I have invited you to Pendragon to make sure that nothing occurs to prevent the marriage of my daughter to Mr. Wentworth Trimmingham.
Why is that marriage so imperative, Lord Neville?
To be brutally frank, Mr. Holmes, the Neville estates are mortgaged up to the ears. If the marriage does not go through on the 2nd of next month, I shall be bankrupt, totally bankrupt.
I see. Has anything occurred, Lord Neville, to make you fear that this marriage may not take place?
Well, no. That is nothing definite.
Perhaps the Lady Ginevra hasn't been able to hide her distaste for the match.
Oh, no, nothing like that. Well, I wouldn't say it was a passionate attachment on either side. But they like the same things. She laughs at all his jokes.
What better foundation could one ask for a marriage, eh, Watson?
Well, that's what I should have said. Well, everything was as smooth as silk until the Dowager Duchess of Turse gave the engagement dinner last month. It was at her suggestion that I sent you the invitation to Pendragon. She's been decidedly edgy ever since Percy returned in the midst of the betrothal dinner 2 weeks ago.
Percy?
Yes, Percy is my cousin, although he's only 7 years older than Ginevra. He's our next of kin.
See.
But as a matter of fact, he's an orphan and lived with us at Pendragon until he went off to Canada to seek his fortune 2 years ago.
If anything should happen to your daughter before she produced an heir, would Percy Neville inherit?
Yes, Dr. Watson. Both the title and the estates.
Percy Neville's return was unexpected, I gather.
It was. Unexpected and melodramatic, to say the least. The betrothal dinner was being held in the great hall of Pendragon Castle. My daughter had just risen to return the bridegroom's toast. As she lifted her glass, a casement window was thrown violently open, and Percy walked in out of the night.
And now I should like to make a toast to my future bridegroom. Percy! Gordon, servants, Percy, is it really you?
I'm sorry to make such an abrupt entrance, yes. Lady Turse. But I came as soon as I received news of the engagement.
Percy, why didn't you let us know you were coming?
Let you know? Let you know when you never bothered to answer my letters?
But, Percy, we never received any letters. We thought you'd forgotten us.
I have forgotten. As if that would have mattered.
Percy, that's not true. You know how fond we are of you.
How touching.
Percy, this is Wentworth. Wentworth Trimmingham, my future bridegroom.
So, this is the little man they've sold you to.
Stop that. Stop it at once. I'm very fond of Wentworth.
Are you, my dear Ginevra?
Percy, why do you look at me like that?
To think you should so soon forget our family motto. Ne vile velis. The name Neville means that, you know. Ne vile velis.
Ne vile venis. Latin, I take it, eh, Holmes?
Quite. It means stoop to nothing base, in case you've forgotten your Ovid, Watson.
Oh, teach your grandmother to suck eggs.
Tell me, Lord Neville, what happened after Percy quoted the family motto to your daughter?
He stamped off to his old rooms in the tower and hasn't been out of them since.
How does the Lady Ginevra react to this unfriendly behavior?
Oh, she says let him sulk. It's no concern of hers. Lady Terse, on the other hand, is thoroughly unnerved by Percy's return.
Oh?
As she feels sure he'll do something outrageous the day of the wedding. Poor Wentworth is as edgy as a hen on a hot griddle. Well, of course, that may be due to his encounter with the White Lady.
White Lady? Who's she?
The ghost of the first Ginevra, you know. The bride who played hide-and-seek on her wedding night and was never seen alive again. Years later, her skeleton was found in her great dower chest, still dressed in her wedding gown. She'd hidden in there, and somehow the hasp must have fallen down, and she was locked in and smothered to death.
Seems to me I remember a rather famous poem on the subject.
Oh, yes. So all the Ginevras in the Neville family have been named after her. She's supposed to walk through the halls of the castle whenever a misfortune is due to occur.
Well, cheerful damsel, eh, Holmes?
When and how did Wentworth Trimmingham meet the lady?
Well, Mr. Holmes, it seems it's his habit to knock on my daughter's door on his way to bed to wish her good night. Last night, the wind was rather high and he couldn't seem to make my daughter hear. Suddenly, he heard a strange creaking noise down the corridor behind him. Looking round, he saw the lid of the dower chest rise slowly.
Ginevra. Ginevra, my dear, it's I, Wentworth. I've come to bid you good night. Ginevra, are you there? Ginevra!
Who calls me?
What was that? Good Lord, the lid of the chest is rising. There's something. The woman in white. She's rising out of the chest. Who are you?
The first Ginevra. You call to me. So I have come to warn you. Go away. Go away before it is too late.
Then what happened, Lord Neville?
Nothing, Mr. Holmes. Apparently the white figure glided past my daughter's fiancé and disappeared up the tower stairs.
What did the lady look like? Blonde, brunette?
Wentworth says her features were hidden by the bridal veil.
Yes, interesting. I suppose anyone in the house would have access to that tower chest.
On the contrary, Mr. Holmes. Too many people are possessed of insatiable curiosity. I keep the silly thing safely padlocked, I promise you.
How many keys are there to that padlock?
One. Which I keep by me, here, on my keyring.
A very wise precaution.
I say, Holmes, your bed is even larger than the one in my room. The butler tells me Queen Victoria slept there when she paid a visit in 1846.
Don't look so superior, Watson. Queen Elizabeth, I'm told, slept here quite a few years before that. Come in.
Oh, Lady Terse, beautiful and charming as ever.
Stop the nonsense. Glad to see you, both of you. Something's going on here. Don't like it.
What sort of something are you referring to, Lady Terse?
Don't know. If I did, shouldn't have sent for you. Ginevra looks as if butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. Bad sign. Percy looks like a thundercloud. That's worse.
I thought Percy had locked himself in his rooms and refused to see anyone.
I'd like to see anyone refuse to see me. Oh, but I'm Gavin. You'll want to view the premises.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to inspect that dower chest. It might be interesting to investigate how a lady in white can emerge from a carefully padlocked coffer.
Then you don't think it was a ghost. Neither do I. Well, what was she up to?
You should be able to answer those questions better, Lady Terse, after you've had a look inside that box. I wonder if you could persuade Lord Neville to lend us the key.
Here's the key, Mr. Holmes. Lord Neville insists I bring it back the moment you've finished with it. Oh,
suspicious old boy, eh, Holmes?
Not suspicious, Dr. Watson. Fussy. Well, Mr. Holmes, why the delay? Open the silly chest. Let's see what's inside.
So fast, Lady Terse, not so fast. First, let's have a look at the lock.
Heavy old bit of machinery.
Yes, almost impossible to pick it without showing signs. There are no signs.
Then whoever opened it used that key.
Not necessarily, Watson.
But there's only one key. Lord Neville told us so.
And if Robert says a thing, it's gospel.
Yes. Interesting carving around the lock. The wood's very old.
Naturally. Open it up. I'm dying of curiosity.
Very well. Lock needs oiling. It hasn't been unlocked for some time. I'll remove the padlock. Here, Watson, hold it. Now, Lady Terse, if you'll help me raise the lid.
Right.
Good Lord, what's that?
Oh, it's Thor, Ginevra's spaniel. Goes everywhere with her. Regular shadow. Oh, yes, here she comes.
Hello there. I'm Ginevra. Why, you must be Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
Delighted.
Don't let me stop you, Mr. Holmes.
You won't.
Father told me what you're up to. I'm dying to see what's in the chest, too. Go ahead, open it up. Down, boy.
You see, it's a biggish box, isn't it?
Yes, a woman could easily hide in there.
Something white and satin lying on the bottom.
Wonderful. It must be her wedding dress. I've always heard it was still in there. Remarkable to find it in such good condition after all these years.
The remarkable thing about it, Lady Ginevra, is this dust and dirt on the hem. Watson, give me an envelope. I shall want to take a sample.
But that's fascinating. I've heard simply fabulous things about you, Mr. Holmes. And now I believe them. Everyone.
Do you? Yes, I think we've seen everything there is to be seen here. Watson, you may close the lid. And lock it.
Right.
Uh-huh. So this is Mr. Sherlock Holmes and his famous deductions. They told me you were coming.
They? Who's they? I understood you've let no one in here, not even the maid.
You've overlooked Lady Terse. Try to keep her out of anything.
I didn't mention Mr. Holmes, Percy. Or did I?
Don't look so suspicious, Lady Terse. I've decided to be a good boy. I've even decided to come downstairs tonight and join in the Christmas Eve festivities.
Percy, that gleam in your eye. I've known you too long. You're up to something.
If you want to know what satisfying people really means, ask any man who wears Clippercraft clothes. He'll sing their praises, with good reason, too. For values like Clippercraft amaze even clothing experts. Until you see Clippercraft clothes and try them on, you won't believe such really superb suits are possible at only $40 and $45, and such rich, long-wearing top coats and overcoats at only $40, such very smart sport jackets at only $26.50. For just a fraction of what you'd expect to pay, you get correct styling, perfect fit, and long-wearing materials. An ingenious plan makes this all possible. The Clippercraft Plan, which concentrates the buying power of 924 of the nation's leading stores from coast to coast. You get the savings that result from this group buying at your own local independent store, the store you can trust. Selling inexpensive clothes at inexpensive low prices at the nation's finest independent stores is the great big idea behind the Clippercraft plan. That's why men who know insist on Clippercraft clothes. So be sure to visit the Clippercraft store in your city.
These leading stores in the metropolitan area are proud to add their names to Clippercraft in your suit, top coat, and overcoat. In Manhattan, John Wanamaker Men's Stores, Broadway at 8th and 67 Liberty Street. Saks 34th, Broadway at 34th. In Brooklyn, Abraham and Strauss. In Newark, New Jersey, Boulevard Men's Shop, Kresge Newark. And in Jamaica, the B&B Clothes Shop, 16408 Jamaica Avenue.
Late.
Oh, calm yourself, Ginevra. He'll be here.
But Percy, the snow's so deep. What if he can't get through?
Now, don't worry. The sleigh is light, and he has Vixen, the best horse in the county. Nothing can pass her, you know.
Oh, dear, I hope so. No, Thor, down. What ails the dog?
He may prove to be a bit of a problem, don't you think?
Goodness, I hope not. Oh, Mr. Holmes, I didn't see you behind that chair.
An ancient wing chair often provides a good listening post, my dear.
Now look here, you meddling busybody.
Percy, please, you promised.
Suppose you allow me to solve the problem of the dog, Lady Ginevra.
Would you? I mean, listen, sleigh bells. The vicar's driving up.
He's here. Father Christmas has arrived. Open the door, Paddleford. Now then, everyone.
Good King Wenceslas, Stephen, when the snow lay round about.
Yes, Stephen, I declare I've never been so cold. My right ear's half frozen.
Come along, Father Christmas. Percy will take you into the dining room. You can have a hot toddy while you get out of your wrap.
That's a good idea. A good idea.
And better disguise your voice, sir, or all the children will guess who you are.
That's a good idea, too. Gather round all. Bring in the Yule log. Father Christmas will be with you in a moment to give out the presents to all the good boys and girls. How is that?
Vicar, you're wonderful. Now go along. Take good care of him, Percy.
Never fear, my dear.
Mr. Holmes, they're bringing in the Yule log. Come and help me set fire to it. Oh, look, Dr. Watson has caught Lady Tess under the mistletoe.
I declare I've never had such a Christmas. Oh, come along, Ginevra. They're ready for you to light the fire.
Dear, where did I put the matches?
Allow me, Lady Ginevra.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Watson.
Oh, Lord, look at this. I say, Holmes, how she burns, eh?
Oh, lovely. I do like to toast my feet in front of a Yule log.
I beg your pardon, Lady Ginevra. Haven't you raised your skirts a bit too high?
Oh, my goodness. I forgot.
Oh, Ginevra, my dear. Your fiancé is making quite an ass of himself. He runs into the library every other minute to see no one's lifted one of the wedding presents.
Well, all that silver and your present, Lady Terse, the diamond tiara.
I'll admit that tiara is a temptation. You shouldn't have given it to me, Lady Terse. It's wonderful.
Oh, not at all. A confounded nuisance. Given me a headache for years. Glad to be rid of it.
Oh, here comes Father Christmas. Gather around the punch bowl, everyone. And we'll have a drink or so before we give out the presents.
We should. That's the ticket. I stay there, Vicar. Father Christmas, I mean. Start us off on a carol. Can't drink your eggnog without a song.
Right you are, fair lady. God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior, but born on Christmas Day.
Jolly, eh, Holmes? Nothing like a good old-fashioned English Christmas. Straight out of Dickens, don't you know?
Gone astray, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy,
Hello there, Father Christmas. Not leaving us so soon.
Well, that is a long ride home. Must get going. Don't tell the others. Wouldn't want to disturb the party.
Quite. How about a hot toddy before you leave? Stirrup cup, you know.
No, haven't time.
I thought you might say that, so I prepared this jug full of grog. Keep it well wrapped. It'll keep you warm. It's a long, cold drive to Gretna Green.
But, what, Mr. Holmes?
No time to waste. On your way, Father Christmas. Think of me when you drink the grog.
We will. Wassail.
Wassail. Merry Christmas. And a happy new year.
Hello, what's this? Vicar, off so soon?
Yes, Lord Neville. He seemed in a hurry to get home.
Oh, can't blame him. It's a cold night. Let us get inside before we freeze to death.
Good idea.
Oh, I say, they're ready to start the dancing. Wentworth's trying to find Ginevra so they can lead the lancers.
Help! Help, someone!
Who's that calling?
Oh, good heavens, what's that?
Get me out! I'm locked in.
Someone's got himself locked in the dungeon. This way. The entrance is through the dining room.
I was hoping for more of a head start.
What's that?
Nothing at all.
Ah, this is the door to the dungeon.
Let me out! Let me out, I say!
Oh, dear, the door is bolted. Just a moment.
Get me out of here!
Good Lord. It's the vicar down there in his underwear and trussed up like a New Year's goose.
This is an outrage! Get me out of here!
But if the vicar is here, who drove off in the sleigh?
Presumably an imposter who stole the vicar's clothes. I thought it might be, you know, when I heard Father Christmas sing bass.
Hey, Holmes! Holmes, where are you? Lady Ginevra, her fiancé, can't find her anywhere. She's disappeared, vanished into thin air.
Hey, Scott, someone get the vicar out of the dungeon. I've got to find my daughter.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, come quickly. Ginevra's disappeared. Her dog is crouched in front of the dower chest, howling.
Oh, hurry, gentlemen. The same scoundrel that locked the vicar in the dungeon has undoubtedly put Ginevra in the dower chest.
I only hope we're not too late, eh, Holmes?
Wentworth's tried to break the chest open, but the dog won't let him near. There, you see?
Easy, thoughtful boy. Yes, I know what you're trying to say. We'll get her out. Oh, confound it, the key. Lady Terse, what did you do with the key?
But I gave it back to you.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yes, you did too.
Quite all right, you know. No key needed. The wood's so old and the staple's so loose, it's quite possible to lift the lock right out, like this. That's it, I'll raise the lid.
Great Scott, there's nothing in there but a roast of beef.
Yes. Thor's made off with it, I'm afraid. That explains his interest in the chest.
But if Ginevra isn't here, where is she?
With Father Christmas, I imagine. They're heading for the Scottish border in the sleigh. You'll never catch them, I'm afraid.
Of course, she's eloped with Percy. So she did talk him round. Good for her. So that's why she trailed off up the tower steps in that old bridal gown.
I suspected as much when I discovered some of Percy's ashes on its hem.
Ah, but this is dreadful. I should be ruined. We'll have to return all the wedding presents.
Fiddle-dee-dee. Personally, I'll make mine a much handsomer contribution. Ginevra shall have the tiara and my emeralds as well. They're worth a king's ransom.
Lady Terse, you are an astounding female.
All women are. Oh, but we're keeping the dancers waiting. You shall lead the lancers with me, Robert. Come along.
Say, Holmes, you old fraud. I believe you knew what was going on all the time.
I suspected, Watson. I suspected. But when I saw the Lady Ginevra raise her ball gown and display a pair of traveling boots, I was sure. But come along, Watson. We shall have to go down to the kitchen and make peace with the cook.
Oh, why that?
For making off with Sunday's roast of beef. Something had to be done to keep the dog interested, or he'd have given the show away.
Well, that certainly was a Christmas story with all the trimmings, Dr. Watson.
Glad you liked it, Mr. Harris. And now, while I fill up our glasses, so we can drink a Christmas toast to our listeners and our sponsors.
Nothing would give me greater pleasure, Dr. Watson.
Here's your glass, Mr. Harris.
Thank you.
And here's to our radio friends, young and old. Merry, merry Christmas and happiness, prosperity and peace in the new year.
Indeed, Dr. Watson. And warm greetings to all the makers of Clippercraft clothes. And now, Dr. Watson, how about just a small hint about next week's story?
Next week, I think I should tell you how Holmes and I spent New Year's Eve off the Scilly Isles.
New Year's Eve off the Scilly Isles? That sounds amusing, Doctor.
Hair-raising is the word, Mr. Harris. We were aboard the luxury liner Gigantic, expecting that any minute she would burst into flames. There's nothing more terrifying, you know, than a fire at sea.
The makers of Clippercraft clothes and 924 leading stores from coast to coast have brought you another in the new series of broadcasts featuring the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is produced and directed by Basil Lochran with special music by Albert Berman. If you don't know your Clippercraft dealer, write Clippercraft, 200 Fifth Avenue, New York City. Christmas seals support the fight to prevent the spread of tuberculosis in this community. Buy and use Christmas seals on all your holiday mail, and be sure to mail your packages now. Be sure to listen next week to Sherlock Holmes in New Year's Eve off the Scilly Isles. If you'd like to attend the Sherlock Holmes broadcast in New York, see your local Clippercraft dealer, and he'll tell you how to obtain your tickets. Speaking for Clippercraft clothes, this is the world's largest network, serving more than 450 radio stations and mutual broadcasting systems.
Hey, Paul, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to Arthur's Grand Hour on WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford. Tough, free-form radio.
Thank you, Station 90 Ears. Yes, you are listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We heard Adventure of the Christmas Bride. That was the Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. We'll do it level, Chuck, here. With an original air date of the 21st of December, 1947. Let me pause here before I continue with a FCC obligation.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that. Under me, we're here in Stille Nacht. I don't even know how to pronounce this. This is from the Irmgard Rausch collection. From Baker Street, we'll head to California with another Have Gun, Will Travel. I played one last week again. Paladin isn't my favorite character of all, but again, it's not Richard Boone. It's friend of the show, John Daner. So we'll go ahead. This one is titled Ranch Carnival. I still can't figure out how this one is tied into Christmas, but has the original air date of the 21st of December, 1958. Thanks for listening.
Think your husband has never killed a man, but you're wrong. And before I take him in to face the charges, he'll try to kill me. Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin. Miss Wong. Miss Wong.
Oh, Arita.
Couldn't you wait and do that later?
Mr. Paladin, but this is safe for cleaning windows in your room.
Well, it's rather annoying while I'm trying to read the newspaper.
Our lady in charge said we must keep up schedule. She finds that Miss Wong not clean window will be very bad. Oh, much trouble.
Come back this afternoon and do them.
Have other rooms to clean this afternoon. Must keep schedule.
Look, Miss Wong, just tell the lady in charge that the guest in this room didn't want his windows cleaned.
She not understand. Most guests are out of rooms by 10 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm. All right. You win.
I win.
I'll go downstairs to read.
Oh, would you like to offer for me, Swan?
If Hayboy comes up looking for me, tell him I'm in the lobby.
Hey, Isa.
Thank you. Oh, my.
Oh, Mr. Faraday.
Hmm?
Good morning, sir.
Oh, good morning, Hayboy.
Well, just coming to your room. This telegram come for you.
Thanks. Looks like the one I've been waiting for from Jack Regan.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Regan, the big cattle man you told me about?
Yes, that's the one. He lives up in Oroville. Now, let's see.
He wants you to take his job?
Yes. I'm to meet his foreman in Yuba City the day after tomorrow. That means I'll have to take the afternoon stage. Would you make reservations, hey boy?
Oh, yes, sir.
And send Mr. Regan my answer. His address is there.
For Esau have gone with trouble.
And specially processed for filter smoking. Filter Blend. That's why it's fun to smoke Winston, America's best-selling filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Jack Regan had lost 2 payroll shipments to hold-up men in the last month. Now he had hired me to transport a 3rd shipment from the bank in Yuba City to his ranch near Oroville, California. I met his foreman, Luke Williams, the night I checked into the hotel in Yuba City. The plans for secrecy were set. If by any chance our mission was discovered by the outlaws that held up the other shipments, we were to protect each other and see that the money got to Regan safely. The next morning I rented a horse, picked up the money at the bank, tied the leather money bag to my saddle, and met Williams at the edge of town. We rode the first 5 miles in watchful silence.
Hey, there's a creek up ahead. We can water the horses and rest a spell if you like.
Good.
Hey, tell me, how much is Regan paying you?
That's a private arrangement, Luke.
He owes me a gourdful. I ain't been paid in 3 months.
That's so. Well, I guess he's had a pretty rough time of it lately. Losing 2 payrolls.
Yeah, maybe. But it was his own fault. He sent a couple of greenhorns up there both times. Yeah, last time, one of them got himself killed. I told Regan he should have sent me in the first place.
Yeah. How long have you been with him?
About 2 years. But you won't find me there 2 more. You know, I've been looking for another spot. I might even get a spread of my own.
It takes a lot of money to start a place of your own.
I know, but I've been saving. The old man's promised me back wages when we deliver this payroll.
I see. Ooh, boy. Ooh, no.
Sure gonna feel good this horse.
Yep. How much further to the ranch?
Oh, I'd say another 2 hours.
I wouldn't worry about that if I was you.
What?
Ranch.
Don't cry nothing. Neither one of you. I'll splatter you all over that creek. Now drop your guns to the ground.
Ranch Carnival.
You got a good memory, Luke.
You know this man?
Yeah. Rance Carnival. Thought you was locked up in Sacramento.
I was. Now I ain't.
Didn't take you long to pick up where you left off.
Not when I got old buddies around to keep me in touch with what's going on up in Oroville.
How'd you break jail?
Ain't no jail gonna hold me for long. You should have known that, Luke.
What do you want with us?
Well, sir, now that you ask, I'm going to be taking the money you're carrying to Regan. But the first thing I'm going to do is kill Luke Williams.
Boy, you dirty filthy...
Don't you move another step, mister. You get it just like he did.
Why? If you want the money, you could have taken it without killing him.
I got my own special reasons for doing what I did.
What happens now?
I suppose if I was real smart, I'd kill you, too. But I ain't got nothing against you. I'm gonna let you take a little walk down this creek bed. Might lead you back to Yuba City if you walk far enough. Don't ever try to look for me, mister, because I'll see you coming, and then I'd have to kill you for sure. Now start walking, and don't turn back. Why, you must have grown a foot taller.
Oh, I thought you'd never coming back. You've been gone for a year, and Ma said you wasn't coming back.
Well, she was wrong. Where is your Ma?
Her in the house, I reckon. I was going down to that old string of fish when I saw you ride up.
Well, let's go in and see her,
huh? Hey, what do you got in that leather bag? You got me a present in there?
Not exactly, son.
Well, did you bring me a present?
Not this time, but I'll be getting you a lot of presents from now on.
Who went, Pa?
You'll see.
Ma? Hey, Ma, look. Pa's home.
Hello, Lily Mae.
Friends.
Well, ain't you glad to see him, Ma?
Well, sure, Ned. Why don't you go on outside for a little bit? Well, so me and your Pa can talk. Grown-up talk. Do you hear me, Ned?
Well, but I want to take a good look at Pa.
Well, now, you said you was going to catch some fish for supper, Ned. We're going to need some extra. So you better get started.
Yeah. All right, Ma.
Why, Rains? Why did you ever come back?
This is my house. Why shouldn't I come back?
Not no more, it ain't. It's mine. It's mine and Ned's. You lost your family more than a year ago when you didn't come back. When you didn't keep your promise.
Now, Lily Mae, you know why I couldn't come back.
I know they put you in jail, and I know why they did it. That's what I'm talking about.
But I was only doing it for you and Ned. If they hadn't caught up with me... Well, that bank money would have set us up for life. Don't you understand that?
Well, I don't want that kind of life no more. You said the same thing in Wichita before we came out here. How long that money last?
Took more than I thought.
You'll never stop lying and thieving, Rance Carnival. You know it and I know it. There's nothing left between you and me. So I want you to clear out of here. Right now.
You got kind of strong-headed since you've been working in that saloon, didn't you?
How'd you know about that?
I heard.
Well, what'd you expect me to do? Starve to death out here without money to buy even a turnip?
You could have got a decent job.
The wife of Rance Carnival? A decent job in Oroville? Well, maybe you should have heard Ma while you was listening. I couldn't even get a job washing clothes in this town. They was afraid I'd steal them, being the wife of a thief. No, sir, the saloon was the only place I could get a job. At least I had enough looks left for that.
Things are going to be different from now on. I got lots of money for us right here in this satchel. You and me's going to start all over again, Lily Mae.
I don't know where you got that money, Rance, and I don't know how you got out of jail. But I do know it wasn't the right way. And I want you to leave Ned and me alone. Just leave and stay away from us.
You talking to the wind, Lily Mae. I come back to claim what's mine. He's my son, and you're my rightful wife. And I don't care what any other man might have thought while I was gone. We're going to be together. Nobody's going to interfere.
No, Rance.
You change your mind. You'll see.
I'm real sorry to hear about that, Paladin. Luke Williams was a good boy. How'd you get here to the ranch?
I found my way back to the main trail. It wasn't too long before a wagon came by and the man took me into Oroville.
Yeah, I'll send a couple of hands up to get Luke. We'll give him a nice funeral.
Mr. Regan, what do you know about this ranch carnival?
Only what I've heard. Didn't know he was a killer, though. Got his reputation as a thief.
Well, he must have had a personal grudge against Luke.
That's strange.
How's that?
Well, Luke mentioned to me about a month ago that Carnival's wife was working in the Paradise Saloon in town. Seeing as how he felt sorry for her.
His wife?
Yeah. He must have had a few talks with her. Carnival moved into Oroville a couple of years ago with his wife and son and bought a place on the other side of town. Didn't take long for the people around here to catch up to him, though.
You think he'd come back to see his wife?
No, he wouldn't do that. I hear she claims to have given him up for good. No, he's too smart to do that. He knows that's the first place they'd look for him.
I wonder. I think I'll ride out and have a talk with her.
Well, I don't know if it'll do you any good.
Mr. Regan, I'm going to do everything I can to get that money back to you.
I know you will, Paladin. That's why I hired you.
Gifts at Ayagi, almost Christmas, no time to lose. Lots and lots of gifts to choose.
Is it too late?
Hardly.
Give him,
give her a gift at Ayagi.
For her, there's a beautiful array of all new Yardley gifts. From $1.50 to $13.50. For instance, there's the Yardley soap check, with two cakes each of delicate English lavender, romantic crushed carnation, and glamorous red roses. It's priced $3.50. Or there's a red roses cologne and dusting powder set, only $4. All prices plus tax. Yardley at all fine stores.
Give him,
give her
a gift set by Yardley.
Hello, son. Catch many fish in this stream?
Not two so far. I'll get me one more and I'll be through for the day.
Good.
You live around here, mister?
No.
Well, I thought I'd never seen you before.
I'm looking for Mrs. Carnival's place. You know where it is?
I reckon I do. I live there.
Oh, you her boy?
Yes, sir.
Ah.
We live up around the bend there. It ain't far. You come see my ma?
Yeah. Is she at home?
She's there. My pa's home, too. They're having grown-up talk.
Your pa?
Yes, sir. He's been away for a spell, but he come back today. You going to eat supper with us?
No.
Well, if you was, I'd catch fish for you.
Well, that'd mean you'd have to catch two more.
Yes, sir.
Well, you never can tell. Your mother might ask me to stay for supper.
She might. Maybe I better catch just one for you, in case she does.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that's mighty thoughtful of you, son.
You tell him I'll be there after a bit.
All right. Come on, boy. Before I reached the house, I dismounted and crawled up to the back door, being careful to stay out of sight. As it turned out, I wouldn't have been noticed. There was a heated argument going on inside between Rance and his wife. Don't go for your gun, Rance.
You.
Think I'd still be walking to Yuba City?
I should have known not to leave you alive.
Well, I'm grateful to you for that, but it doesn't undo the murder you did commit.
Are you saying Rance killed a man?
Yes, ma'am. And he took the Regan payroll money.
Jack Regan's money?
That's right.
Who'd he kill?
Never mind, mister.
Who was it?
Regan's foreman, Luke Williams.
Williams?
Yeah.
Luke is dead.
Your husband's going to hang for it.
There ain't no man going to pine around my wife and live to brag about it.
How'd you know about him and me?
Man keeps account on his wife, even in jail. But I ain't blaming you, Lily Mae.
Well, you might as well blame me. I loved him more than I ever loved you. And if you hadn't have come back when you did, we'd have been gone and you never would have found him.
Don't you have any respect for your son? How'd you think he'd feel having another man for his father?
If you cared for that boy at all, you'd have given up your rotten ways a long time ago.
Where's the money, Ranch?
I didn't bring it with me.
Oh, stop your lying for once. It's right there, mister. It's on the table.
Lily Mae, you're not going to have that money, mister.
Oh, no, you... I'm sorry, Mrs. Carnival.
It's just as well that he's dead. If you'd have taken him away, I'd be fearing that he'd get back to somehow before they could hang him. I don't want Ned to know about this.
You won't be able to keep it from him now. If you heard those shots, he'll be coming up to the house to see what happened.
Yes, I know. What'll I tell him? He never understands.
I think he will. If not now, maybe later. If you tell him the truth about his father.
What was the truth? Everything Rance did was for his son. At least, that's what he said.
Mr. Paladin.
Good morning, hey boy.
You just arrived on stage?
Yeah. What are you doing behind the desk?
Desk clerk asked me to take over while he have breakfast. You leave your bag here. I take it upstairs when clerk returns.
All right. Now I'm going up and take a nice, deep, hot bath.
Whoa, you very tired, Mr. Paladin?
Dusty from that miserable stage.
Oh, Isa, you feel much better after bath. Should hey boy send breakfast to room?
Hey, that sounds good. You do that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Miss Wong, why are you in such a hurry?
Oh, great emergency, Mr. Paladin. No hot water on second floor. All guests scream at Miss Wong.
Well, you shouldn't let that upset you.
Oh, but Miss Wong cannot help it. Must go to basement and see man in charge of furnace.
You know, some people can certainly be inconsiderate, can't they?
Yes, sir.
They come to stay at the Carlton Hotel, one of the few places in San Francisco with modern convenience.
Modern?
Like hot water.
Hot?
And if something goes wrong, they act as if they've been used to hot water for years.
Yes, sir. Excuse me, please, Mr. Paladin. I must home.
Oh, Ms. Wong. Did she say the second floor? Well, that's my floor. Ms. Wong!
Oh, this miserable cold. And my sinuses.
Haven't you heard about Dristan? Dristan decongestant tablets for real relief from cold misery and sinus congestion. Dristan is the revolutionary three-layer tablet which for the first time makes it possible to unite certain medically proven ingredients into one fast-acting, uncoated tablet. Dristan not only helps drain all 8 sinus cavities, critical areas of cold's infection, but circulating through the blood, Dristan's decongestant reaches all congested areas, shrinks all swollen membranes, relieves pressure and pain. An exclusive anti-allergen helps keep breathing passages dry and clear. Pain relievers reduce body aches, fever. Vitamin C helps build body resistance. This is Dristan. Today, Dristan is widely imitated. But the exclusive Dristan formula cannot be duplicated. There's nothing, nothing like Dristan decongestant tablets.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Parrott and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Mr. Parrott. Featured in the cast were Lillian Byatt, Jack Moyles, Dick Beals, Ralph Moody, and Vic Perrin. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Thank you, lads, for that promo. That was Have Gun, Will Travel, starring John Daner, titled Ranch Carnival. Again, I don't see how that had anything to do with Christmas, except that ad that no longer exists in this world. And the original air date of the 21st of December, 1958. Again, my name is Arthur, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. As the lads indicated, this is the Grand Hour. I'm going to go ahead and continue on here. This is an hour program by the Lux Radio Theater. Set an original air date of the 10th of March, 1947, which most everybody knows. It's a Wonderful Life. It's a very good movie starring Jimmy Stewart, one of my favorite radio actors, on top of just regular actors, I guess. Anyway, here we go. Thanks for listening.
Presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring James Stewart, Donna Reed, and Victor Moore in It's a Wonderful Life. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we bring you one of the season's most inspiring hits, a Liberty Films production that's been nominated for the highest screen award. Yes, It's a Wonderful Life. And we present it now with its original fine stars, Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. Jimmy in the role which won him a nomination for the best performance of the year. Also in our cast is starred that fine comedian, Victor Moore. It's a Wonderful Life is the drama of a typical American. Might be you, it might be me. He dreams of glory, he lives in hope, he loves and doubts, and only Providence puts a final value on his service to humanity. Our story starts before the war.